And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast. If you're listening to other podcasts, Ed, I just found out there actually are other motorcycle road racing podcasts. Who knew?
There are, Michael.
I did not know that.
Our listeners prefer us.
You know what? Because our listeners have taste, they have class, and for fuck's sakes, Ed, they've got a race bike in the garage, and that makes them better than other human beings.
I just forwarded an email to you from JD, a listener.
Right.
He says in his email, again, how great our podcast is, and he was specifically thankful for the information about countersteering from show 48. And he applied that lesson and had immediate positive results.
Wow.
So not only are we entertaining, we're also educational and useful.
Are you mean?
This is show number 84.1.
48.
And we'll tell you shortly, 48.1, thank you.
48.
And we'll tell you shortly why we had to do the .1 part. Who are you?
I am Michael Gugis. I am a track day rider. I am a racer. I put on a helmet. I put on leathers. I go out there and I put my life on the pavement. Moto journalist.
On the pavement?
Exactly. Absolutely. Because I don't ride in the dirt. If either of my wheels has hit the dirt, something has gone horribly wrong. Okay? And who are you?
Ed Sorbo. I'm some dude who's been racing motorcycles since 1982.
Yeah, for more than a bit, right?
Yeah.
And he's also the owner of Lindemann Engineering, which you can find online at le-suspension.com. Ed, what's going on? How's Tiki? How's the dog?
You know, it would be great if Tiki came over and visited today because I could use a hug and a good face licking.
Aww.
After the most shameful day in motorcycle road racing ever.
I can show you. I can get you some web addresses where you can order up that kind of service, Ed. You just don't tell them. Don't use my name there, okay?
I can just walk down the street and knock on Tiki's door, and he'll come visit.
Cool, Ed. What are we talking about? The most shameful day in MotoGP history. Why are we talking about this, Ed Sorbo?
So we are in the middle or near the end of the greatest championship season in MotoGP history ever. At Australia, the previous round, we witnessed the greatest race ever. Hands down, almost nobody disagrees with those statements. And yet, unfortunately, on Thursday of this week, we saw the rumblings, the warning signs. And some people saw this sooner, but this was the first public obvious one. And it started with Rossi's claim in the press conference that Marquez was deliberately screwing with him in Australia and doing so because Marquez would prefer Lorenzo to be champion rather than Rossi.
Hold on. Now, hold on right there, Ed. I want to talk about that. And why Rossi's meltdown, and let's be perfectly honest here. What we're looking at is a man who is in the middle of a meltdown, okay? Why it happened here. Ed, if I asked you to pick one moment in Valentino Rossi's career where he proved beyond a doubt that he had superhuman speed on a motorcycle, what race and what track was it at?
On a motorcycle.
Hold on. How about,
and, you know, do you, he's done that stuff at very many places. So
do you,
I don't know where you're going with this.
Do you remember at Phillip Island the year that he got the yellow, he passed under the yellow flag and he got the penalty, 15 seconds, and his crew told him via his pit board, you're in the lead, you're at minus 15, go. And he
right.
went and over the
okay.
over the
yeah,
course.
But he's got a number of things he did like that. There's no question the guy can ride a motorcycle.
No, but hold on. This Phillip Island was special. He said after that race, he said it was the first time and probably the only time in his career that he had ever pushed as hard as he could from beginning to end. He could, at the height of his powers, he could pull away from the best riders in the world and pull a 15-second gap on them by the end of the race at will, okay? Now, you fast forward to Australia of a couple of weeks ago, right? He's on, and let's be honest, the Yamaha is better than the Honda this year. Any argument on that?
Nope.
Yeah, okay. So he's on the best road racing motorcycle ever built, okay? And he can't get away from Andrea Iannone. He can't get away from Jorge Lorenzo. And he watched Marquez do what he used to do to other people. He's, like I said, you know, a year and a half ago, He no longer has the speed of an alien, and it hit him in Australia in the face like a ton of bricks. Okay? When we age, we have those moments where we realize, oh shit, I can't do this anymore. And he
For most of us, it's when we have to buy reading glasses.
Yeah, right?
So let's stay on target here.
This
right?
is target. So, go ahead, meltdown.
So Rossi decides to fire off a salvo at Marquez for who knows what real motivational reason. And the big hole in the argument that Rossi supporters ignore during this tirade is that Marquez won the race. He beat Lorenzo. Marquez really wanted to help Lorenzo win the championship. He would finish in second behind Lorenzo and in front of
Let's
Rossi.
Not confuse the issue with facts, Ed.
So then Rossi goes outside of the English press conference and has a scrum with the Italian press, which apparently is the normal thing. And you guys can find the words translated, posted on the internet.
Crash.net.
And he just goes bonkers, making crazy accusations about Marquez's riding. So we go to the race practice, and everything goes like normal. We do qualifying, and everything's like normal. And by the way, who picked Dana Pedrosa to win the championship this year? I did. That was one spectacular qualifying lap, and it was the first lap out. He didn't warm up to it. He just turned it
just
on
boom.
And did it.
And you know what, dude? And he doesn't, the weather conditions, the temperature, the humidity, he doesn't have the physical reserves that other riders have, dude. That was just sheer guts. And that was an amazing ride by Pedrosa. Okay,
well, anybody? You're talking about the race. I'm still back at qualifying.
Okay.
So then in qualifying, the big thing is Rossi steps it up and takes the front row from Lorenzo on his last qualifying lap. Very impressive. It puts the whole, right, this championship was going to come down to a point anyway.
Right.
And so now that's a big advantage for Rossi. So the race starts, and Lorenzo gets a poor launch and gets swamped by the two Ducatis. Then he turns on the Lorenzo thing in turn three and gets both of the Ducatis in one go.
That was pretty awesome.
And works his way past Marquez and Rossi and gets into second and goes after Dana Pedrosa. And Dana runs a fantastic race. The race, he ran so good that, you know, Lorenzo, clearly the fastest guy this year, had nothing for him. So that was beautiful. So then we cut to this unbelievable battle between Rossi and Marquez. And,
which, by the way, let's be very clear about this, and let's be absolutely factual. Regardless of what anybody, including the race director, Mike Webb. Hey, Ed, did I tell you I was cleaning out something around here and I found Mike Webb's balls? Because he clearly doesn't have them. You know what? They're the size of peas. But I digress. No matter what he suspects, what he said in his ruling was Marquez's passes were fair, they were clean, and he never touched Rossi. Okay?
Yeah, and the real wimpy part there, the no balls part, was he kind of sort of hinted.
Right.
Marquez was like a little bit on the edge.
Right.
Bullshit.
No.
You know, while I was watching this thing happen, you know, with live for me last night, after I got home from the track, all of Marquez's passes were legitimate passes where Marquez was going faster and went by.
He didn't
cause Rossi to check up. There was one when he rode around the outside of Rossi after Rossi stuffed up the inside of him that was, I couldn't tell if they touched or not.
Nope.
But half of Rossi's passes on Lorenzo on Marquez were lunges where Rossi then ran wide and he couldn't make the pass stick.
Yeah.
And in the one where he lost the front end and his foot came off the peg, he then looked over and watched Marquez go by him.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that Schwantz would do when he wasn't racing serious, when he was screwing around. So this all led to the incident where Rossi deliberately slowed with Marquez on the outside to deliberately run Marquez wide and outside on purpose. And at that point, before Marquez fell down, Rossi should have been DQ'd and had his racing license revoked.
Yeah, as far as
the fact that Marquez fell or didn't fall is irrelevant.
Absolutely.
If you're racing motocross bikes at 5 miles an hour in a really slow U-turn, that maneuver, deliberately moving your guy to the outside and making him stop, and then you go again, that maneuver is accepted in the motocross racing okay?
Right.
It is not accepted in our sport.
No.
So
especially
people can argue whatever that he fell down and all that stuff. To me, that's irrelevant.
Yes.
Deliberately putting the other guy to the outside, forcing him wide on purpose, not anything other than trying to do your best speed, is unsportsmanlike conduct. This is the same behavior when Kari Saros reached over and turned off Jason Aguilera's bike at a Moto West GP race at Buttonwillow. I think that was last year now. And there was no penalty incurred for Corey. Unsportsmanlike conduct is unsportsmanlike conduct, whether you're a novice who just started or whether you're the greatest racer of all time. It's completely unacceptable. And the fact that Rossi was allowed to get 16 points when Marquez got zero further shows the ridiculous unfairness of this, that he still has a chance for the championship.
Okay, and let's be...
to emphasize how upset I am about this, I seriously ask myself, do I want to continue to be involved in this sport after I witness that bullshit? If our gods can do that, it is not the sport that I am interested in being involved in.
Ed, and all I can say is, I couldn't agree more. The moment that you as a competitor look at another competitor, look them in the eye, and try to run them off the track, is the moment you are no longer welcome on my racetrack. You're no longer welcome in my club. You're no longer welcome in my organization. And if I ever get suckered into trying to run or helping run a race organization again, if I'm race director and I see that, you're done. You go home, okay? That's you know, quite frankly, that is vehicular assault. That's not the level of risk I agreed to when I gridded up and took a green flag. I accept the risk that I might crash. I accept the risk that your bike might break, you might have a mechanical and run into me. I even accept the risk that you might do something completely boneheaded and run into me. But I do not accept the risk that you are going to use a 400-pound, 250-horsepower motorcycle as a weapon. That is the crime. And Casey Stoner was spot on. There is a massive difference between accidentally riding over your limit and deliberately running somebody out to the edge of the track. And you're right. Whatever happened at the edge of the track, it doesn't matter. Before that moment, the minute Rossi looked over and decided, I'm going to run this fucker wide, and he's going to know I'm doing it, that's the moment he should have been DQ'd. By the way, looking back a couple of podcasts now, what Alex Rins did, what did he do to get a black flag? I didn't see him run anybody off the track. Shit.
Yeah.
Marco Simoncelli a few years ago, when he got black flagged for the incident with Pedrosa, what the hell did he do in comparison? Nothing. I haven't seen anything like this ever, okay?
Well, then to compound the situation, right, Rossi made a bad decision and did a wrong thing in the race direction, had 45 minutes or more to make the right decision and couldn't do it.
Well, okay.
So when you talk about you to take certain risks when you decide to go racing, and that was a good description of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the club that's putting on the race, the people you're paying, the race director, has agreed to take a certain responsibility on your behalf and the behalf of everyone else. And they are required to do that, to follow through with that. They have to do it. If I was the race director there, I probably would have been killed in the riot after I black flagged Rossi out of the race.
Well,
I understand that they needed to let him go to the podium because they didn't want to have a riot. And I could even understand if they wait until everybody's out of the country and then tomorrow they announce, okay, the points have been taken away, Rossi's DQ'd. I can accept they have to do a delay because they don't want a riot. But that's the only caveat here. It's clearly an unacceptable situation.
Well, okay,
and
now...
then, okay, go.
I was going to say, now, here's the other thing that would have happened to you. Okay, let's say you survived the riots. Let's say you survived the haze. Let's say you survived the humidity. Here's what you would not have gotten out of Malaysia with if you had penalized Rossi to any degree. And let's not bullshit ourselves here, okay? He got nothing in terms of a penalty. And I'm going to throw this in now. Starting at the back of the grid in last year's race, if you were still last at the end of the first lap, you were 7 seconds behind the leader. Seven seconds.
The penalty is a joke.
Yeah, the penalty is nothing. Rossi is going to be 12th going into turn one. He's going to be into the top 10 by the end of the first lap. It was a quote-unquote penalty manufactured to look like they had done something. But in reality, Dorna is not going to slaughter its sacred cow. It cannot.
Well, okay, except they have.
No, they haven't.
They are only paying attention to the short term.
But that's all they can do, Ed. They're an investment company. That's all they can do.
Then what they've guaranteed is their own collapse.
Probably, but as long as they make money this quarter and next quarter, then they're fine. That's all they care about. So, you were saying, in regards to... I was saying, here's Mr. Webb, the brace director, and I have criticized him brutally over the years, and I think at this point, there's not a person who actually races who would disagree with me, that the guy is a gas, he's supported by a series of gas-filled bladders. He has no spine, and he's got smaller balls than my wife, okay? But I'm not really being critical of him.
Well, it's not just one person. It's the whole structure.
Do you know, right?
He did not make up that ridiculous points penalty situation that's just a smokescreen for actually doing something all on his own.
No.
It's a way of saying we did something without actually doing something because of the structure and the popularity of the structure of how they race and how they make money and the popularity of Rossi. I mean, all you have to do is look at Aaronson Senna, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts.
Right.
The guy committed an actual crime, attempted murder, and he became world champion, and millions of people around the world think he's the best car driver of all time. These people don't live in the racing world.
Well,
they want to be entertained for a short period of time, and that's all they care about.
Right.
But I have enough talking about the troublemaker. Let's put a word out for this. So the race was stolen from all of us, and none less than Pedroza, who had probably the best weekend of his career. Definitely an unbelievable weekend if you go, well, he was under the knife earlier this year.
Right.
And nobody's talking about that.
Right.
And Lorenzo's fantastic run.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys both did everything they're supposed to. They were at the press conference. They fielded the questions honestly with straightforward answers. They didn't pull any punches. They didn't do what Lynn Jarvis did, which is make up some bullshit.
Did you see his reaction? Did you see his reaction when Rossi took Marquez out?
So in the case of all of Rossi's people, when you see the camera footage of their reaction, when they see it on the screen,
they know.
It's clear that they all know that Rossi just stepped well over the line.
Absolutely.
And then they still support him. If you're a real friend of somebody, when they do something wrong, you take them on the side and you tell them they did something wrong and you explain to them how they need to correct this, how they have to apologize, what they have to do to make it right.
Right.
You don't put up smoke screens for them.
Well, hold on, Ed. If you look between the lines, if you read carefully between the lines, okay, they have kind of done that. And I think even Rossi, even in his current delusional state, probably recognizes it. First, it took Yamaha forever to make a statement. Secondly,
I did all that, and I saw that Lynn Jarvis wasn't, fully sticking up for me. But if I was race director, I DQ the guy, I take his license. I give him his license back based on how he behaves afterwards, right? If I'm Lynn Jarvis, I fire his ass.
You can't.
And I bullshit.
No,
and
you
I
can't.
Reinstate him if his behavior is correct.
You listen, cannot.
Even now, Rossi can still make this right. He can publicly apologize, and he can sit out the final round because he doesn't deserve to be champion.
Okay, if you're Rossi, you're too delusional to do that. Okay?
I understand that.
Okay, and secondly, and this is important, we need to talk about this, you touched on it, and it was very well said, Ed, this is not a failure of Mike Webb, the spineless little wonder, okay? It's not a failure of Lynn Jarvis, it is a failure of the economic system that runs MotoGP right now. Do you know who sat in on the hearings with Marquez and Rossi after the race? An executive from Dorna. Okay? And you know the first words out of that fucker's mouth were, "We're not DQing Rossi, are we? Are you kidding? We can't possibly do that." Rossi has made that company millions. And we need to take it one step further. Dorna is owned by an investment capital firm. They could give two shits about sportsmanship. All they want to know at the end of the year is, "Oh my God, you mean you suspended our number one box office draw? Have you lost your minds?" Dude, Webb would have been shot by Dorna if he had actually attempted to DQ Rossi. That's your problem. And I've said this before. When it's all about the show, then the injustice, the bad decisions creep in. I'll go one step further since, you know, what the hell, nobody listens to me anyway. It is actually in Dorna's economic interest. And once again, this is no penalty, okay? At worst, Rossi is going to cross the line after the first lap, 5 seconds down. It's in their economic interest to make a bad call. More controversy. You know, warming the balls of their sacred cow. That, you know, the event coming up is going to be the most watched thing in TV history. And fuck the sport. Fuck the rider safety. None of that matters. All that matters is their TV ratings and the amount of money Dorna can deliver to Bridgepoint at the end of the year. Okay?
The whole situation taints all of this. And this is why I was thinking last night about, you know, do I want to continue in this sport?
Yep.
Now, this doesn't change my personal satisfaction of when I ride well and when I learn stuff and when I help somebody who rides better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And as a small example of the financial situation, what the hell else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Am I going to become a manager at some department store? No.
No.
Right? I have a set of skills that I can best use in the motorcycle world, and maybe I could transfer it to the car world. But
you're pretty
in
good.
The motorcycles, most of our people worship a cheater, Rossi. And in the car world, too many of them worship Ayrton Senna. Same situation,
yeah.
Same problem. So
it's
a systemic situation. It's a problem that's real.
And that leads
there
me.
There are people who are going to learn from this situation. They're going to learn that it's okay to do this stuff.
If you're popular
and
enough.
Somebody that we know is going to get hurt because somebody that we know is going to pull this kind of bullshit.
Isn't it sad that this happened at the track where Simoncelli died? Of course there's
there.
Not,
I mean,
except...
It's sad that it happened. Here's another sad version of it. Rossi's not going to realize this until he's very, very old. Maybe it'll be his last thought.
No, it won't.
If he had not done this, if he had just raced to the best of his ability here and at the next round, he would either be 10-time world champion or he would be 9-time world champion and the best second place ever.
Yeah. But
right? He could have lost the championship by one point.
It
would have been an advertising bonanza for Yamaha for all time to come.
It could
have been all of that, and now he's tainted everything he has ever done. All of his 9 previous championships are all less valuable than they were.
Yeah, no, not to him personally, though. Here's the thing.
I don't care. No. The guy is crazy. He's lost his mind. To him personally right now, I don't care. I can't even think that way.
That's true. You can't. You're right. You can't think that way. But that's my point. You're right. You and I can't think that way. I've spent enough time around celebrities, people who actually believe their press clippings, you know, as the saying goes, and they believe the people who tell them that they're a god and they walk on water. And, you know, it sure doesn't hurt when you fucking run your bike into somebody else and Dorna goes, how many millions have you made for us? That's perfectly fine. It's never going to occur to people like that they've done something wrong. It doesn't even enter their heads, okay? But it does make you look back at all the other stuff. At Sete sitting in that gravel trap at Sepang. At Stoner standing on the podium at Laguna going, why is this guy not DQ'd? He cut the course. You know, it makes you look back at all of that stuff and realize that very early on, the people in MotoGP who run it for a profit realized that Rossi could make them money. And they allowed him to get away with stuff Just like Carl Fogarty said, just like Casey Stoner said about yesterday, they allowed him to get away with things that nobody else would be allowed to get away with. Because, and that leads me to the final point, okay? Because he drags in the shirt, the hordes of yellow shirt wearing fanatics. The word fan comes from the word fanatic. And if you look at, do you, Ed, do you follow Casey Stoner's Twitter feed? Okay, but you can do it on your computer. Go look at.
I don't care.
Casey, wait a minute. No, this would be useful, because somebody I saw on a bullet.
A guy who doesn't have Facebook or any other media thing is telling me to get Twitter. But go on.
No, I'm not saying get Twitter. I'm saying use your PC to look up stuff. You use your technology. You don't let your technology use you, Ed. And there is a 25-cent phrase. Okay, so. I saw this on another board, and it was a link to Casey's Twitter feed, and it says, "This is why Casey left the sport." So Casey had tweeted, okay, if anybody had done what Rossi did, they would have been black flagged immediately, no questions asked. I stopped counting in the dozens of people who decided to log on to Casey's account so they could call him a moaner and tell him to shut up and go back fishing. What Dorna has done, what you don't understand, and what they, or maybe they do understand, or just don't care, okay, is that when you build somebody up to that level of popularity, you have a fan base that is no longer fans, but are fanatics, who honestly, and there are a whole bunch of people all over the internet today who have no idea of why what Rossi did was so bad. They have no idea. To them, motorcycle racing is just images on a screen, okay? And it may as well be animated to them. They have no idea of how badly Rossi broke the code. Tom Sykes talked about it once when Marco Melandri did a pass on him last year. Sykes said, was asked, did you think about the path that was too close? He said, Marco passes close, but there's a line you don't cross, and Marco didn't cross that line, okay?
Reality.
I am in reality. There's a desk right here.
Speedway for a fast track riders track day.
Okay.
And a customer was in the next garage to me with six or so friends, and the customer was picking up his bike, which I had done work on and delivered to the track for him. Okay?
Okay.
I spoke to four of his friends before anybody was able to go on track, before 9 o'clock. I spoke to four of his friends about obeying the 5 mile an hour speed limit in the pits.
Okay.
Now, if I had not done that, then they would have done something next a little more wrong, and nothing happens to them, and something next a little more wrong until it leads to some big problem, right? So here's a small version of Rossi and Dorna.
Mm-hmm.
If we, on an individual level, don't work to do the right thing, first with ourselves, then with our friends, then with our acquaintances, then with the other people we see around us at the track, if we don't use peer pressure to enforce the low-level rules, the first, the grassroots stuff, mm-hmm. then it just grows and gets out of control. If yep. we think that Rossi's maneuver was okay, if we fool ourselves into saying that Marquez somehow earned this or deserved this, yeah. or any other kind of crazy, we didn't really land the man on the moon bullshit, then we are killing our sports and hurting ourselves. So the solution to this problem is not, you know, damning Dorma or whoever. It's changing our behavior and supporting people who do the right thing. And whoever you just quoted about that pass was close, but he didn't cross the line, that is true. And everybody who does this seriously
uh-huh.
knows and understands that line.
Uh-huh.
All of Rossi's supporters, all of the people at Yamaha, all of the other racers know what Rossi did. You can go watch the MotoGP coverage when the three of them go up to the steps to be on the podium, and for a minute they're at the back there, there's a table and some towels and whatever, and you can see Rossi explaining to Pedrosa what happened, and the look on Pedrosa's face says it all.
Yep.
He can't believe that anybody would do that. Rossi broke the rules. He shattered the covenant.
Yeah.
He is no longer one of us.
No, really, I wouldn't agree.
And
I could not agree
please,
more.
One last thing. I don't want to say it's not allowed to disagree with me. But Facebook posts on my Facebook page and emails sent to me raving about how Rashi is hero and he didn't do anything wrong are just going to be deleted.
You know what? So, I'll wrap up with this. Mr. Spineless, Mr. Webb, okay? And again, I criticized him for years, and nobody has agreed with me. I think anybody who's ever actually put on a set of leathers and a helmet now is going to be rethinking some of my earlier comments about Mr. Webb, okay? But like I said, knows that Marquez did nothing wrong, says that he did nothing wrong, but still says in his last interview, he said that Marquez provoked Rossi. You know why?
Yeah, that's just stupid.
You know why Mr. Webb calls that provocation? Because as best as I can tell, Mr. Webb has never fucking raced a motorcycle. He's never done it.
He's saying it because, like you said, they're concerned about pissing off all the Rossi fans.
And that
financial consideration is real.
Oh,
it's not just going to hurt, Dharma. It's going to hurt all the individual racetracks where they don't sell more tickets and stuff. And that pain is real. And I'm not saying we can avoid that pain, but I'm saying we have no choice because otherwise we're going to just turn this into wrestling.
Well,
you know,
right.
It's not the sport we want. What we want, we want is smart, hardworking role models like Pedroza, like Lorenzo, like all the guys in the middle of the field, and what we don't want is for the cult of personality to become more powerful than the sport that we love.
Just so we're absolutely clear on this, okay? There is a term for what Marquez was doing during the race.
It's called racing.
Yes, it was called racing. He's a fucking professional racer, and it's his job to put his bike in front of as many people as he can, okay? There's a reason he's a 20... How old is he now, 22? There's a reason he's a 22, 23-year-old multimillionaire. That's his job. He's not, and that's just the mind-boggling thing. And the reason that so many, and I'm sorry to say it, so many Valentino Rossi fans have absolutely turned me off over the years. They truly believe that everybody needs to just get out of his way and allow him to move on.
That's what Rossi thinks, right?
I have seen.
People are supposed to get out of his way and let him win the championship.
I have.
You know, one of the things they're saying is how Marquez is. He can't keep up with Rossi. He's just getting there to mess with him. Like, really? Did they win 13 races in a row? Two championships in a row?
Right? Doesn't he
try to say that he can't keep up with the dude? So anyway, I think we've made it pretty clear, and it's not what we think. It's what we know.
Exactly. Exactly.
And next week, you'll get to listen to the original 49.
That's okay. This is
48.1.
Right.
Now we did that.
Yeah.
He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo. Aloha.
Aloha.